When last we found our heroes, they were sitting on a couch talking about Batman. How will they get out of this one?
More beer. And 14 Robins.
We need more Robins. Mars needs Robin.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Pure West.
Hey! Welcome to Batman Part 2.
Exactly.
Batman Returns.
Anyway, I'm Bri.
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
To the news!
Current Zero News Flash.
In news.
Yep.
I think we mentioned it last week, but we didn't get into it.
No.
Runaways has been cast. It will be on Hulu, and it's a list of people I've never heard of that have done stuff that I've never watched. Yeah. Renzi Felix, who was in Teen Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was in Casual and Teen Wolf. He was listed in the article as being in both, but then I looked on IMDb, and Renzi Felix was not in Teen Wolf.
He was in Casual Teen Wolf.
Casual Teen Wolf, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Who was really just a dog.
I'll just, you know...
He's wearing pajama pants.
You know, I'm just going to stay in the limo.
Playing Alex Wilder, Larika Okano, who is in The Affair and Unforgettable, will play Nico Minoru.
Yeah. I like Nico.
Nico's great.
A budding Wiccan, Nico's carefully crafted goth appearance isolates her from her peers and family, but maybe what she really needs is someone to talk to.
Yeah, that's Nico, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty much that character.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, it's written by somebody's parents.
Yeah.
Her powers come from cutting herself.
Literally true.
Virginia Gardner, who was in Goat and Little Bitches. Carolina Dean. Ariella Bearer, who was in New Girl and One Day at a Time, playing Gert Yorks. Greg Sulkin, who was in Faking It and Antisocial, playing Chase Tyne.
Yeah.
Allegra Acosta, who was in 100 Things to Do Before High School, is playing Molly Hernandez.
Although Hayes in the comics.
Yeah, I guess they changed
that. That's like literally the only thing that they change, and even then it seems like it's still the same character, they just changed the last name.
Yeah.
Which doesn't bother me. I was just mostly impressed, like, oh, yeah, these are the same characters, don't seem terribly altered.
I am not super familiar with Runaways, and I've heard tons about it, but I've never read it.
It's really good.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Well, I haven't read it in several years, but... Yeah.
I think I only read, like, the first...
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
The first season, if you will.
It was sort of me thinking, like, when they first were talking about making this, I'm like, it felt like something where, like, if the Marvel Universe has existed for quite a while, it'd be like, okay.
It's a natural.
Like, a very established thing, but at this point, it's like, no, things are pretty established now, actually. This actually will very much work now. You can have, like, a Hydra angle with the parents or something like that, if you want to tie it into other things. You don't have to. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff
I
to do.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Why split up the universe now?
But it's on Hulu, so you don't know how... I don't know how that works.
So we Canadians are going to have to steal it something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
there's that. But then it's
thanks.
Who can access what characters and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, where Hydra falls.
I have a feeling that they can pretty much...
Well, I guess that's Marvel.
Pretty much.
Standard Marvel.
They're doing
but then
okay
if
there.
They if Hulu can access that...
I would imagine they could, but we'll see. I mean, it's part of the hook, right? It's not like a big surprise. The parents are supervillains, like secret supervillains.
Yeah.
So that would seem to connect with that pretty well. There's also a lot of magic stuff going on, which is getting played up now. This is actually, now that I think about it, a great time for a Runaway show, and I hope it turns out well.
DC's Hanna-Barbera line is going to be expanding. They've done, like, Future Quest and Scooby-Doo and Flintstones. And
Flintstones is apparently great.
There's a couple in there. We've talked about it before. Future Quest, I'm really quite enjoying. They're doing Snagglepuss.
What?
No, but get this. This is actually pretty interesting. Snagglepuss is reinvented as a gay southern gothic playwright.
What?
By writer Mark Russell. I am totally on board
Holy
with this.
God.
It's a tragedy, and this is a quote.
That sounds amazing.
I know, this is the quote. A tragic Tennessee Williams figure. Huckleberry Hound is a sort of a William Faulkner guy. There in New York in the 50s, Marlon Brando shows up. Dorothy Parker, a bunch of socialites of the era.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing.
It's always been tongue-in-cheek, kind of, like, never said because this was, like, an older cartoon that, you know, Snagglepuss was gay, but it's always been insinuated and it's always been talked about just with the intonation and whatever and kind of played off that.
Closet?
Yeah. Exactly. So now, obviously...
You might as well, yeah.
But I just love... That's the first thing that grabbed me. Gay Southern Gothic playwright. I'm like, holy that's...
Yeah.
That's delightful.
Awesome. Because, like, they're not doing anything else with these characters.
Yeah.
Might as well explore it.
And yeah.
Go wherever. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to buy a Snagglepuss comic.
Yes, you are.
I am. That's happening.
The kid has class, taste, finesse, recognizes talent.
And I'm pretty sure that's the news.
That is the news. That's all we got. On to Batman.
On to warm-up.
On to warm-up of Batman.
Probably over Batman.
Warm-up of Batman.
Welcome to the warm-up.
I have a challenge for us today on the warm-up, and we're going to have to get through this relatively quickly. Just what we're doing. I'm sure this has been done elsewhere before, but it hasn't been done by us, so it's fresh and original.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to objectively find who is the best live-action Batman of all time.
Clooney.
Based on...
Kilmer.
Based on 10 different elements of Batman that I find that are essential.
So are we giving these, like, number ratings? And mathing it?
We could. That's very complicated.
How are we doing this? What are we doing?
Okay, so I have 10 different areas of Batman that I find very, I think that are pretty essential to the character.
Okay.
And we're going to rank each. And we just, you know, we can just shout it out. So let's start it up.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
We have, first off, the most important part of Batman. Wealth.
Which one is Keaton?
Which one is the richest, has the best mansion? I mean, again, it's a little subjective because none of them is like, here is the exact amount of money I'm worth. But based on everything you sort of see in their stories, and again, we have Adam West, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, in case you
didn't know. Christian Bale seemed to have...
Yeah, but like, it got they run explored down it. And stuff.
Well, but they also explored it more, so...
That house burned down and he's able to rebuild it brick by brick.
But then he had, like, the whole company and he had access to all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was really...
Yeah, that's fair.
I would have to give it to...
To Christian Bale?
Christian Bale.
I forgot.
You remember, we all remember. Second one, just physical capability, strength.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're depicted so
well. No, Affleck.
Yeah.
Just
pulling some tires around.
Yeah. How many of the other guys beat up Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he was just big and burly.
Yeah. Beefy Benny.
Adam West. No. No.
Pure.
Pure West. I'll get the dancing one. Yeah. I know dancing's on there.
Motherfucker. It is. You ruined the surprise.
It's not a surprise.
No, it's not. Three. Okay. Fighting martial arts skills. So, separate from strength, like actual fighting skills. And I'm going to say right here, like, I'm not giving that to Affleck, I don't think, compared to others.
No, he was, like, just a burly boxer, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And Bale's.
Yeah,
he was definitely
Bale. You saw him.
He was a total bald bull. Just, I'm insisting on doing as many Pancho references as I can now.
Get it all out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, join the Nintendo Fun Club.
Yeah. Are we thinking Bale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one you saw actually doing that stuff.
Yeah, he's the
Batman
training.
That knew karate.
Yes. Yeah. Going from that, of course, to detective skills. And here's one where I would say Bale was not that great. Yeah.
But who really did? Did anybody go into the detective skill thing?
Kilmer?
Yeah, he solved really bad riddles.
There was, like, animated ones that did, but not really live.
He figured out who the Riddler was. He outsmarted Two-Face.
However, I would argue, Adam West did that sort of thing on a pretty regular basis, at least on the rules of his universe. He had actual crime-solving detective equipment.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Yeah.
He was also pretty strong.
Leaping from that to gadgets.
Oh, well.
Vehicles, well, gadgets of every kind.
That one's got to be West.
He had something for everything.
How many of the other ones had.
A lot of them had cool stuff, I guess, but yeah.
Definitely not Affleck.
No.
I think it would be.
It would be a Bale.
Bale or West.
Yeah.
Probably give it to West because there's just the little tiny things.
Like those. He had a.
Shark repellent and bat spray.
Oh, yeah. Literally prepared for everything.
Thermal underwear.
A shark comes to Christian Bale.
Bat condoms.
He's just going to hope that the shark can't bite through his outfit.
Put on the red hood.
Moving on to sidekicks and support. Because the truth behind Batman, he had help.
Clooney.
that's fair. He had Alfred and Batgirl and Robin.
Yeah.
We're not looking at quantity necessarily so much as quality.
Well, what?
It's that or Buttwad.
In that one, in the Clooney keep in mind, the most useful support was basically in a coma for most of that movie, in Alfred. He's sort of off the table in that movie for Clooney's.
So, Bale had Alfred and Lucius. Gordon, and Dent when he had Dent. Until he didn't, and he had to kill Dent.
Yeah. Kilmer had, well, nah. Keaton had, like, nobody. He had Alfred.
Vicky Vale.
Kilmer had, what was her name? Meridian? Chase Meridian.
Dr. Chase Meridian. The famous, popular character.
Yeah, don't know what my license plate number is, but I know Chase Meridian.
Yep.
So how's your life? How's your Wednesday?
Affleck had Jeremy Irons, who seemed to hate him.
Jeremy.
Yeah, but he was really, really good at everything.
Yeah.
He might have been a pretty good Batman.
You would say. Yeah. Adam West had Alfred, Gordon, Robin, and Batgirl
in the later seasons.
And Chief O'Hara.
Sherman Bagora.
I wouldn't say Chief O'Hara was particularly useful.
I'll get the phone for you.
Commissioner Gordon was great at picking up a phone and looking worried.
He never did a thing.
I'll tell you this, though.
He looked like an owl.
Robin and Batgirl could weirdly kick some ass in that show. So it's a close one.
I'm going to give it to Clooney.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I'm not. I'd give it to Bale over Clooney.
I'm giving it to West.
Yeah?
I think we got a draw there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So what does that mean?
One for each?
We just cross that thing out. You just ran
down. 0.5 for each or something?
Yeah, we're just going to have to divide it. That's what's going on. All right, 7, Bruce Wayne persona.
Michael Keaton.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, how, in hell?
Like,
who had the best
Bruce
Wayne?
Wayne persona.
Who had a Bruce Wayne that looked like he had an actual
Who would you
life?
Think is going to be an actual Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, I
would
the most
Keaton.
Full-fledged.
Keaton, although, Bale would be a close second.
Yeah.
Bale was great, him putting on that whole... I loved how, and I feel like they kind of got it right in a way, the Bale ones where Batman was one thing, the public Bruce Wayne was another thing, the private Bruce Wayne that pretty much, like, three people saw was actually him.
Right. Yeah.
Which I feel is, yes, that's
you
how he
You saw that concerted effort that was... You're all sycophants. Get the fuck out.
Yeah,
get out
of
my house, sort of thing. Like that sort
of
thing.
The same does appeal to Keaton, too, yeah. I would say.
Yeah,
a little. Because you had him, like, it's a different take on it,
I guess. He's sitting there, he's brooding, he's going to Crime Alley and dropping roses off his parents' not at their murder site.
But he's not the same as when he's in the Batman costume.
Exactly.
It's subtle.
Yeah.
And then there's the parts where he's going through the house and Vicky Vale and, what's his name?
Yeah, Arliss.
Yeah, Arliss.
Yeah.
Are walking through.
And a good friend, Arliss.
are in the, like, armory or whatever.
Yeah, in the
King showroom.
Yeah, King of the Wicker people.
And just kind of that sort of weird interplay.
That moment where he's like, oh, yeah, like, at the bottom. He's just kind of like that aloof kind of.
He's trying to play up that, yeah, I just buy stuff. And, you know,
But you can still sort of tell he's not quite, you know, like, he's not quite developed right in a way. Like,
could you pass the salt?
Yeah. God. You know
okay,
what?
Let's,
yeah.
Let's give it to Keaton.
Let's give it to Keaton.
Yes. I don't know if Keaton's going to win this.
I don't know either.
8. Sheer perseverance. Batman does not give up. He doesn't quit. He comes back, right? He loses, but he comes back every time. He won't give up being Batman. So Bale is the fuck out of this one.
What?
Bale gave up. He quit.
But he also broke his back and came back.
Yeah, but then he quit.
But then he quit.
He came back and he was like, yeah, I'm Batman. Psych.
Again, there are points there, but he quit like 3 times. Twice.
Who did?
Bale
quit 3 times.
Beginning of The Dark Knight Rises, he had already quit for years. After Dent died, he went missing for years. That guy quits all the time.
That guy quits all the time.
I'm here to do 2 things. Get my back broken and quit. And I'm all out of bat.
Yeah. Oh. Adam West, that was it ran. There was a movie, 3 seasons. Hell, he's still doing it.
How many seasons it ran.
It was 3 seasons.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I know. He didn't really face a lot of the same tribute.
Went through nothing. He's like, some days can't get rid of a bum. That was his toughest day. Like,
that dude got tied up and put on death traps on a bi-weekly basis, but he got out of them the next week every time.
Also got to hang out with Julie Newmar in Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
And,
what was her name?
Art Carney as Catwoman.
Lucky. Michael Keaton left the role, but that doesn't count for the character exactly,
he did quit.
Kilmer and Clooney didn't stick around very long. However, not to lead the discussion,
but I will lead the discussion.
In the universe, though, Ben Affleck, he was getting up there, and he'd been doing it consistently for a long time. That much was clear.
But he quit, too.
When did he quit?
That Batman had quit previous to Superman showing up.
He came back at that point.
And he came back. Was that firmly established?
I believe so.
Okay. I wasn't entirely certain about that.
That was the feeling I got from it.
Okay. This is a tricky one.
It's a matter of quitting and coming back or taking time off.
Take time off and come back. As long as you come back.
That's why I kind of like the Bale, because he left, but he came back.
He did come back.
And he had his back broken.
And it got fixed pretty quickly. Yeah, that is true. But Michael Keaton.
I know.
But Michael Keaton, I got nothing.
You know what? The argument.
He went up against Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back.
You know what? I might have to give it to Bale, actually. You make a good argument. Okay, we're getting close to the end. One that maybe might not get a lot of play all the time. But you know what? Compassion. Because he does care. Like, there's a reason he's doing this. Yeah. It shouldn't just be like, I'm going to punch crime until it's dead.
He's so not Affleck.
Yeah. No, not Affleck.
Give an example of Batman being compassionate.
He brings
in the film.
Oh, in the films?
Yeah.
Kilmer took in a troubled young man.
It's true.
Bale gave that little gadget to that kid on the stoop. That's all I can think of.
Well, and also he gave his whole home to orphans.
The orphans, yeah.
Yeah, true. He gave away all of his money and home to orphans so he can, retire to hang out with Anne Hathaway.
He's so kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he gave Anne Hathaway a free trip.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Keaton was, I would say, relatively kind of distant-y.
Yeah.
In general. Clooney, do you think he was terribly caring and compassionate?
No, he wasted all that money at that auction.
That's true, he did.
$7 million. Never leave the cave without it.
Bat credit card. Get the fuck out of here, clown.
West seemed to be a relatively caring kind of a guy. I can't point out anything one thing in specific, but he cared a lot about people's well-being, it seemed, and society's well-being.
He was the best foster father, that's for certain.
That's definitely true.
At least on camera.
But no, he actually made a point to, a lot of them are cover stories and stuff, but it seemed like he was making sure Burt Ward was raised properly.
Even Batman would do. Batman did charitable events.
That's true. Batman and Bruce Wayne did charitable events.
Batman showing up for a charitable event in any other media.
Fair point.
Give your charity to me.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
No, not so much.
So, no, that's a good point. I'd go with West.
Okay. And of course, the surprise 10th one. Dancing skills.
Clooney.
Christian Bale.
He danced on ice.
Oh shit, that's true. That takes talent, actually.
And give it to
in a stunning upset, George Clooney gets best dancing skills.
You know what? West, not that great a dancer, frankly.
Nah, no.
The Batusi, I mean, we can...
Several Batman have done, like, you know, kind of like slow dance ball stuff. I would say that takes a bit of skill. He didn't step on any
slow
feet.
Slow balls, yeah.
Slow dancing, like at a ballroom.
Whatever.
Oh, God. Just
watch my face crumble as you're sitting.
Oh, I can't hold it together.
Nope.
Alright, so...
Beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop. Gotta put that in Adam the West, computer.
Adam West wins detective skills, gadgets, caring and compassionate, being caring and compassionate, and a third of sidekicks and support. So he gets 3 1/3. Michael Keaton won just Bruce Wayne persona. Hmm. Val Kilmer won absolutely goddamn nothing. Sorry, Val. George Clooney...
Won dancing
skills. And a third of sidekicks and support. So he actually, surprisingly, gets 1 1/3. Christian Bale won fighting and martial arts skills. Perseverance. Oh, wealth. And 1/3 of sidekicks and support. So that's 3 1/3.
Oh, tie.
And Ben Affleck won strength. And that's it. So we literally have decided together. We took this journey together. We came to this conclusion together, objectively, proving that the best Batman is a tie between Adam West and Christian Bale. We did it, you guys.
So...
No, we can't debate anymore.
I'm not debating. I'm just saying. I'm analyzing these results.
What's our takeaway from this?
We like a fun Batman. Mm-hmm. We like a grim Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have both?
Just both. They can coexist. One guy can do both.
That's hard to do.
I would even say...
I love that noise.
You know what? I would say this. Even Christian Bale's Batman was funny sometimes.
Yeah.
He had some dry one-liners throughout. Like, I enjoyed those movies in a fun way, as well as in that serious way.
Yeah.
I feel you can't tip too far in either direction. That was a fine balance. Well, I'm glad we settled this once and for all.
Yes, good work.
If anyone debates this on the internet, it's over. We settled it.
We settled everything. Decidedly, by a tie.
What the f***?
So.
Batman, part 2. Villains. Let's just jump into villains.
What's the best Batman song? villains.
Danny Elfman.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that song.
What was that?
I don't know
what that was, but it wasn't Danny Elfman. But it was,
I know, I'm just kidding.
It was fantastic.
Actually, I really did like
I thought
Danny
that
Elfman.
Was like the victory music from Earthworm Jim there.
Yeah. Is that not the Batman theme?
Yeah.
How do I keep mixing up Batman and Earthworm Jim? I don't understand.
Never use that evil twin thing for the Opposites episode with Evil Jim.
Yeah.
Damn it. Anyway, what villain would you like to talk about first? Because Batman, if a hero is defined by their villains, then Batman is super defined. Because he's got a bunch of... Just because I say something slowly and methodically doesn't mean that I'm not an idiot.
This is my favorite TED Talk.
So what is this? This is a screen. What's on the screen? Facts. 1, 2, 3 facts. And what do those facts mean? Well, let me tell you. It's simple. Nothing. Because they're lies. Now, what are lies? You know...
That's pretty good. You get that up on.
Thank you.
Oh.
So what is a villain?
Okay. Batman villains. Let me just start with, I never liked Penguin.
No.
He's an interesting character, but I've never went, oh, thank God.
He's an interesting...
This comic has Penguin in it.
He's an interesting supporting character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fills out the universe.
I only ever liked him in the TV series.
That's been
the only time I've been like, this is fun.
Like Burgess Meredith?
With Burgess Meredith.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney.
when he runs
Dick
for
Dick Cheney
mayor.
Is yeah. the Penguin. Arr!
John Stewart did it all the time. I'm not taking credit for
this. Oh, really?
I've never heard that.
I didn't hear that.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's I'm wondering, how does the Iceberg Lounge stay in business?
That is a good question.
It's like the skylight bill alone.
Like, every damn week.
I gave you a key!
It's good.
Thanks.
Yeah, as not as like a major villain, I see him like when he sort of fits that rule as like, I don't know, like an arms dealer or a supplier or something like that.
Where it's
he
like sort a middleman.
Where he keeps, like, again, he keeps his public persona as clean as possible, but he sort of does stuff. And even, like, Batman isn't going to go too hard on him because he can still be useful.
I think he works best in the early TV series and in the early comics where he's campy. Because I can't look at this character without it being campy. It just becomes that by sheer ridiculousness of this character.
Like, whereas
the Joker has evolved and become something more, where it's like, there's however many incarnations of him, like,
three,
he becomes crazy, just three. He's become insane, and then he's also, like, the campy thing, and then all the stuff between, and whatever.
Meanwhile, it's 2017, and the Penguin is still wearing a goddamn top hat and
and a monocle.
He's still smoking the cigarette out of, like, the long filter thing.
Yeah.
Get out of here, okay. Audrey Hepburn.
Here's a challenge. Update Penguin. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, we lose the top hat.
Yeah.
You give him, does he need a hat?
Trim him down, have him, like, red hair, he's buff, he's in the, he likes to play songs.
Okay.
And, no.
Alright, now how many dicks does this penguin have? And is it like a duck's dick, where it's like that weird corkscrew?
Oh, God.
A pig.
No, that's a
duck?
That's ducks a duck.
Do. Ducks do, yeah. Too.
Pig's got a curly tail, duck's got a curly dick.
You ever see a pig and a duck?
Fuck.
Yuck.
Oh, God. That's staying in, isn't it?
Probably.
We can't even censor that one.
But can you update?
Sense.
Can you actually update Penguin?
Yeah, I mean, the way they have, maybe it's not as effective.
I feel like maybe Gotham has done it best.
Yeah, you know what? Now that, you bring that up. Yeah, totally. That I like that actor as Gotham.
He's one of the better parts of that show.
Yeah. I know you're not a big fan.
Not a big fan.
I enjoy the show.
Well, it's like, again, I was entertained by it, but, like, there was a point where I'm just like, no more.
Gang.
Yeah, the sheriff is still watching it, and I'm just like, I'm gonna not. She's like, no, we have to watch this together. I'm just like, I'm real busy. And just sort of managed to just slide out of that situation. It's like, oh,
he just goes in the bathroom and sits on the toilet.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, what are the villains? What do you like?
I like the Riddler. I like the Riddler as, like, he's a loser.
Yeah.
There was that older book where they sort of went over the origins, and there was, like, a Riddler part in there where he sort of saying, like, yeah, it used to be, like, me and Two-Face and Catwoman and the Joker.
Right.
And we were the guys. You know, it was like us.
I want to say Neil Gaiman wrote that, actually.
You're probably right about that, given the time that it came out.
Yeah, but it's true, exactly. It's sort of like everything got too serious and brutal, and he's just like, again, he doesn't work that way. He really
and,
doesn't.
Like, they tried to update him, sort of do, like, a power broker sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, not that power broker, but...
Yeah.
And they made him, you know, a competing detective.
I love that. After everything, they tried to, like, make him, like, the mastermind of Hush or whatever, and they had all these, like, angles, and they had parts where he was just, like, trying to make him more of a psychotic murderer, which was dumb.
But he's the Riddler!
He's the Riddler!
He's the smartest guy in the room, but he's cocky about it.
Yeah. And again, yeah, the competing detective thing was great.
Kind of like Stephen Hawking.
You still had that antagonism.
Make him Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
What's Stephen Hawking doing right now? He's probably sleeping. I don't know. What time is it there where he is?
I don't know.
We should call him.
Hawking, what's going on?
Scrolling to
Siri. Call Stephen Hawking. Oh, didn't see Stephen Hawking in my contacts.
What?
Strangely enough.
How did he get deleted from your contacts?
You know, new phone.
Oh, yeah.
Who dis? Are we going to talk about the Joker?
I think we should just skip the Joker. Because everybody...
Joker's
boring.
Well, no, like, there's great stuff and there's lots of dynamics.
I love the forehead tattoo.
What more is there to know about him other than that he is damaged?
Look at my
and
sock.
He will tell you about it on his forehead.
Okay, let me jump back then.
Yes.
Like I said before, and I don't know if I said it in this episode or the previous episode, but, like, I read more of the early stuff later than the more recent stuff. I haven't really read a lot of the recent stuff.
So you don't want to talk about Professor Pig?
No.
That's fair.
KG Beast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's been used well ever since. I think he was being set up to be used.
It was in the 80s, which made more sense for KG Beast.
Yes.
Now it makes a lot of sense actually. He's due for a comeback.
I have this book called Tales of the Dark Knight, and it's got like kind of a retrospect of the past 50 years of Batman, sort of. This is 39 to 89.
Yeah.
And it's got this little sequence from 10 Nights of the Beast, which I remember this coming out, and a buddy of mine had that whole arc, and I borrowed it from him, and it was fantastic, and it was super cool, and it's got this little sequence where it's Batman chasing KG Beast, and he's, like, jumping across the roof, like everybody
does. The whole time shouting, parkour, parkour!
Yeah, this is before parkour was the thing. So he's like,
Batman invented parkour?
No, KG Beast invented
parkour. Yeah.
So he flips off the flagpole and Batman jumps off the roof. And KG Beast throws a couple of knives at him while Batman throws batarang kind of things at him. Batman could only dodge a couple of them. He got a knife right in the wrist, and he's like, I'm either getting that or in the face. So he takes it in the wrist.
He's like, ow.
Yeah, so he's like, and he keeps going after him. KG Beast leaps off the roof, catches like a little clothesline or something, because there's clotheslines everywhere.
Yeah.
And Batman misses. He keeps falling. He's like, no need to panic. I've been here before. He does a little grappling hook. Catches. And sweeps up. And he goes, I survived, but the Beast escapes. Leaving a startling realization in the wake of his departure, I finally run into someone who's better at this game than I am. And that's how it's set up. And I was like, that was a crazy revelation at that point, where it was like, somebody could actually do this stuff better than Batman.
Yeah.
And up to that point, nobody really done it like that.
Right.
So it was like, that's a setup. And Bane kind of, I think, took up that mantle later on.
Yeah. Well, as far as having like a cool luchador mask.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it being
like
Batman's rival in a way, like kind of surpassing him in a lot
of
ways.
I think he was just kind of like, KG Beast is kind of dropped, and then Bane picked up that mantle. I just connect the two characters because they're almost not identical, but like, it's
the same. Love that KG Bane.
I love this comic on the next page. But no one knows except you and me. And nothing matters now but the two of us. Just you and me, meant for each other.
No, sweetheart, you've got it.
No,
sweetheart, you've got me all wrong. That's not how I operate.
Okay, I thought they were shaking hands in the last panel. I couldn't quite see it. I thought
he's putting handcuffs on.
He got within kissing distance, and he was like,
it has like a click noise. No, they're shaking hands. Batman's got weirdly brittle wrists.
Yeah. Well, he took a knife right to it.
That's true.
Owie.
That's going to cause some long-term damage. Yeah, You're never recovering from that. Not 100%.
I wonder what kind of pain meds Bruce Wayne is on.
All of them.
Like, I hurt my back last week, and I got some good stuff from the hospital.
Yeah.
But, like, that stuff will make you silly all day. Yeah. So, like, how does Batman...
Why do you think he dresses like a bat?
His eye is a fucking kite.
Every time.
We were talking
sprained
about
his ankle one time, and he's just been, like, addicted to pain pills since.
We were talking about favorite artists last episode, and I didn't bring up, and it's not, like, overall favorite artists, but there's one depiction that Alex Ross does of Batman, where it's him with his shirt off with all the scars all over the back. And I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen anybody depict it like that. That I'm like, that is unbelievably true. He would be one scar mass across his entire body.
I remember, didn't like the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie do that, where he took his shirt off and was all scarred up? And now he's Batman! That's weird.
Strange. It's a weird, weird world we live in. So what about, like, non-comic Batman stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start at the bottom, work our way up. What's the worst?
Oh.
What's one that, like, is just really, really bad?
Like a movie or a show or, like, literally anything?
Yeah. I would like to recommend Beware the Batman for that.
Oh, I've actually never seen it.
Yeah.
What is that? That's...
Peter animated one that... It had just ended when we started recording. Because we talked about it in, like, the second episode.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember listening to that episode as I was, like, trying to edit it. I was out for a walk listening to, like, the full thing before cutting it down, because that's how experienced I was in editing. Look at me now, Ma!
Woo!
Look at me! But, like, nobody saw that.
Yeah, no.
Alfred didn't have a mustache.
And he was, like, had a gun.
Yeah.
And it's like he's like fighting crime with Batman with a gun. It's like, yeah, no, I'm cool with this. That's fine.
The main villain was anarchy.
Yeah. And like, not real anarchy.
No. Like, well,
I gotta check this out because I don't remember this at all.
It had, I think, 2 seasons.
Katana, I think, was the sidekick.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
This is Katana. She's got my back. I would advise not getting killed by her. Her sword traps the souls of its victims.
You had Professor Piggy in it.
Who was, Katana was Bruce Wayne's bodyguard.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. It made no impact.
No.
Those Tales of Metropolis have made more of an impact on me. I watch those like every couple weeks. Love those goddamn things.
Yeah. It did not last very long. I know they kind of just burned off the episodes and just kind of buried that one.
For the movies, it's anything. It's like the Keaton or the Bale.
Yeah.
I like anything in between.
Yeah.
Even, and that's not that
Batman ending. Returns was not that good.
No, Batman Returns was not good either.
It's, yeah,
although
it's
an
entertaining
mess. I have a thing for Michelle Pfeiffer, but that... Notwithstanding.
Who wouldn't? And I've got a thing for Christopher Walken, so...
Well, yeah.
Who doesn't? That movie went full Burton.
Yeah.
Like, the first one, it was like, oh, like, Burton's trying to make, you know, like, a superhero movie, whatever. He's trying to do, like, his version of a superhero movie, and this one's like, no, I'm just going 100% Burton, and it was kind of a mess.
What if there were a giant duck?
Yeah.
Penguins with rocket packs.
And, yeah, Danny DeVito.
I kind of still want those penguins with rocket packs.
Yeah,
toys,
classic
though.
Tim Burton move. Cast Danny DeVito. The Penguin, Batman, Steel Cage, sleeping bags. They're playing Nightcrawlers.
I am not a big fan of, what's his name, Diedrich.
Diedrich Bader?
Diedrich Bader.
As Batman.
Oh, yeah, Brave and the Bold.
Yeah,
I like Brave and the Bold, but yeah, I can...
His voice doesn't... It seems a little too, not on my watch, sort of thing. Like, well, it's over.
It's campy.
It is campy, and I get it. It's supposed to be a little bit... But he did it before Brave and the Bold. He did one other one, didn't he?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did another one. Well, I could be wrong.
Let's go to the internet to check it out. Let's check the crime computer. For Diedrich Bader's many crimes, including the Beverly Hillbillies. And any episode of the Drew Carey Show where they decided to do a live improv episode.
Oh, God.
Did they
do that? Oh, God, no.
A few times.
Really?
Colin Mochrie would show up. It's like, we get it.
Let's see. He did Batman and Batman Brave and the Bold and JLA Adventures Trapped in Time, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah.
And until we meet again, boys and girls, know that wherever evil lurks, in all its myriad forms, I'll be there with the hammers of justice to fight for decency and defend the innocent. Good night.
It doesn't fit. Although, to me, Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel it's time for Kevin Conroy to stop being Batman.
Possibly.
Because, like, he said at the, what was it, the end of the last of the Arkham games, he's like, I'm not doing Batman anymore. And then within 2 years, he's back doing Batman.
Yeah.
And Hamill's back doing Joker. Let someone else do these. It's okay. It's not going to be, you know, Brent Spiner doing the Joker ever again, because that was a fucking train wreck.
What was that?
Young Justice.
Yeah.
The worst part of Young Justice. Real, real bad.
real.
What, that guy just likes to hire next generation people to voice all the characters.
He could return, though, because Young Justice is coming back.
That's true.
They can recast it, that's fine.
Oh, that's, I forgot about that, that's coming back. That'll be good.
Gotta get that Spiner.
What else about animated?
That Spiner.
Animated stuff.
Other than that, Brave and the Bold, I like.
I've seen a bit of it, it's not my favorite.
It's not the sort of thing that I would want to watch, like, you know, 52 episodes.
You wouldn't want to watch marathon it and...
No, but like, watch 2 or 3. And I feel the same way about Justice League Action. Because it's really, really quick.
Yeah. It varies in length, too, which is weird.
I didn't know. I watched maybe 5 episodes.
Some of them are like 10 minutes.
I was like, hey, Firestorm!
I know, nothing compares to me. Justice League Unlimited was good.
Well, because it built on, like, it was Batman, the animated series, then the new Batman Adventures, and Superman, then Justice League, then Justice League Unlimited.
Right.
But it wasn't. Those consecutively happened, but you could just, I didn't watch several of those, And you didn't still, have to. You didn't have to. And you could still just jump into Justice League.
But it was still like, you know, and laid some groundwork. You know, you didn't have to watch the entire thing, but I felt like if you did watch the entire thing, it did feel like you were seeing, like,
this. Oh, yeah, there's a continuation to a certain extent.
Well, yeah, like, Batman the Animated Series was on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was an adult is when the first Justice League show came out. Well, adult, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's the same Batman as this show from when I was a kid.
Right.
It's just neat to have that sort of continuity, even though it doesn't especially matter. This is the same Batman.
Well, there's a connection in what? The voice?
Pretty much.
That's the thing.
Designs it's roughly set art
designs
style.
Somewhat, yeah. Like yeah. But it's there's really no continuity sort of thing. But no. But Unlimited has, that's, I think, might even be my favorite.
Well, yeah, because that's basically
out of all, even live
show.
Action, well, I love.
Because they had everyone.
And then one, they had everyone, but I think, and this is one of what I was thinking about this.
Booster Gold episode, it was amazing.
But I think Batman works best when he's in a group atmosphere.
Yeah, and everyone is afraid of him all
the
time.
Yeah, like, and that's the cool thing. The stuff with him and Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite things.
Like, because you have, like, those moments in the comics little bit where she's just, like, staring him down, pointing at him, and you have basically that kind of a thing happening.
Or when she's in the shower or whatever, and he suddenly appears, and he's like,
get dressed. It's time we talked.
Just completely unfazed.
Yeah.
He sang Am I Blue that time, and he was real good.
Yeah. I caught that earlier today.
Very good.
Yeah.
Like, I love Batman the Animated Series, but I would say that does have its share of episodes just like, it's okay.
I went back to it a lot, and I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I did when it first came out.
Yeah.
I think it was because there was nothing of that sort at the time.
Everything else is elevated since.
Yeah,
for sure. Again, Justice League Unlimited specifically is very consistently, like, really good.
Yeah.
Throughout, more consistent, I think, than any of the previous shows. I like them all, of course, but they sort of, like, really hit their stride.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Dwayne McDuffie. Was
true. Big, yeah, very. Yeah, yeah.
Really had his finger in that more than in other stuff, right? So that might be a big part of that.
He had his little finger in that.
Yeah.
There's that movie, The Apocalypse, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
The one with him and Darkseid. Yeah. That's another
point. It seemed like they were doing a series of, like, doing those Batman Superman stories and making them into films. And they sort of stopped after that.
It's like they stopped and were like, okay, we're going to do these sort of things, and then it became another thing, and then it became all new 52 stuff.
I kind of enjoy that, like, yes, it's half of it's new 52, half of it's, like, just Batman stuff. There's some Justice League, there's some Teen Titans, but it seems like they're making a bit of an effort to build continuity. I don't know why I'm such a freaking continuity nerd tonight. But
you're
a new company.
Yeah. But it's like these Batman movies affect these Justice League movies. It's like it's the same characters throughout.
Right.
And vice versa. And there's a non-Kevin Conroy Batman who I think is doing a f***ing great job.
Is that with Jason O'Mara? Is that
him?
Yeah. Who's on S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Oh, is that him?
Mace, Patriot, what? Jeffrey Mace,
He didn't turn out to be Jim Hound?
Yeah, he's not.
No, I was
Yeah, I was kind of going that direction, too.
You guys want to talk about The Batman?
No.
No? Okay. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I watched, like, the first handful of episodes. I hear it got better as it went on.
Oh, it did. It got...
Because, like, those first handful of episodes were pretty rough, especially coming off of, like, Batman anime series. Like, no, I was, like, not having that.
Season 2, they redesigned his jaw.
Oh, cool.
They were like, he's got, like, a round jaw. How the hell does Batman have a round jaw? And instantly it was,
Yeah. No, that was objectively wrong.
And he, like, he made jokes.
Yeah.
And his Robin was fun.
Okay. Maybe I'll give it another try.
I think I saw a bit of it,
yeah. The last season's very, this episode he's teaming up with Superman. This episode he's teaming up with The Flash. And it was okay, though.
Was this running at the same time as, like, Justice League?
I think it might have been, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, right? You have, like, two separate, distinct things. I guess you can do that. There's no reason you can't.
Can I bring up Batman and the Outsiders?
Yes.
I loved that series.
It's on my list, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. That, I always enjoyed it, and I had, like, just interspersed issues, and it was Fan Expo, I don't even know what year, and I wasn't there selling stuff or whatever, I was actually just going to go, and I spent so much money. I barely could afford to get home, sort of thing. And it was, one of them was I bought all the single issues. And that was the first time I ever did that. I was like, I'm going to buy this entire series.
Yeah.
Like, and this is, I don't, there was no trades of it at the, like, no omnibus.
Yeah, trades did not exist.
Well, trades existed, but omnibus, those kind of things didn't exist, and there weren't any trades of Batman and the Outsiders. But I just bought, like, the whole collection. It was like a stack, a foot high. Like, I'm somehow going to get this into my luggage. I bought that. I bought the full collection of Bone. And, like, a bunch of other stuff. Oh, shit, this is going to be a lot of reading. But I love it.
Your suitcase weighed 100 pounds.
Oh, totally. But it was so much fun. I loved that series. It was such a neat departure. And, like, put him, again, you put him with a group. And
yeah.
It works so much better because he has these things to play off of rather than just being this single, dark, solitary character.
Right.
See, I've never actually read any of that.
Oh, really?
It's like, is he leading the team or is he sort of like, I'm at the base, go do this?
No, he's leading.
Okay. So does Batman socking dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's him and then kind of feeling out all the rest of the characters, and it changes a little bit as it goes along.
Was that one cover where he's like going up to the Justice League, like, I've had it with your two-bit Justice League, I'm joining the Outsiders.
That's,
and also the parody cover online somewhere where they replace the Outsiders with Motorhead. Look it up.
I need
it's
to
great.
Find that.
So has anybody written any Batman books right now?
I am not.
I am actually not.
And I hear they're really good. Like, Tom King, I think, is writing.
Oh, Tom King. He did the Vision series.
Yeah. He's writing Batman right now, and I've heard really good things. Like, I feel like Batman's one of those.
He's evergreen?
Yeah. This last 5 or so years of DC Comics, he's been, you know, the consistent thing.
Yeah. I feel intimidated to get into it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There's so many series, generally. There's not just like, oh, I'm just going to go read Batman. Which one am I going to read? And again, with DC flipping, what's going on and what continuity? And, okay, we'll change it to this, and then we go into this event stuff. I have no desire to jump into that.
Yeah.
I would love to just start reading a Batman comic.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go.
Give me a map.
Yeah.
Or don't require a map and just tell Batman stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. What with the rebooting and stuff. And then, and especially now, like, they do the rebirth thing, and it's gotten even more confusing in a way where they're sort of like, we're going to take elements from before back, except in a way where it's like, oh, so it always seems like it is the same world. Everything just sort of got changed and people's memories were changed. Or is that not the case? And it's just, it's confusing and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I like these characters, but I don't know if they're the same characters as they're supposed to be, and I don't know what the f*** is happening. So it just, I start thinking about it for 5 seconds, and I get really stressed out.
And I have an aneurysm.
And then I'm just like, well, forget it.
Got a real big headache.
Which stinks, because I know there's a lot of good stories happening, I want to check them out, but
you gotta wait like 5 years till it's all sorted out and see like
where you're at, and then maybe catch
is
up.
Is this worth reading?
See,
well, I wanted to go back and buy some trades, and I should get like the Court of Owls kind of stuff.
I have those, actually. I have read those.
Yeah.
I do have the Court of, like, the first 5 or 6, of the Scott Snyder Greg Capullo run.
Yeah.
Really liked them. Like, that was okay. I'm like, all right, cool. I can sort of see where this sort of comes from based on where I stopped off, basically right when New 52 happened. I'm like, that makes sense, enough sense for me. Because they were trying to at least sort of just continue it at that point.
Yeah.
But then I think it just got more convoluted as time went on, which...
Yeah. Well, that was the thing.
The opposite intended thing. Like, they just, like, did the complete opposite of what they were supposed to be trying to do. Like, how do you... Ugh. I'm still complaining about the New 52, but anyway.
So that's Batman.
Yay, Batman.
Do we have a moment? I wrote a few weird stories down. There's Batman Odyssey, which I'm not prepared to talk about because I don't think
Neil Adams thing.
The quote is, or there's a quote from Neil Adams saying,
yeah.
I cannot give you an overview of the plot, which is all you need to know, because that is, I've read a little bit of it and it defies description.
It got finished, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it did.
I hope so.
I read another quote from Neil Adams about the Odyssey, and it was like, this is the best Batman story ever.
And here's I can tell, it's not,
wow,
it's not a story at all.
You don't think so.
It's like, it's just a lot of stuff happens, and none of it makes any sense. And like, and then there's like a naked Bruce Wayne, like, but it's like splash page, but it's just like a close up of like Bruce Wayne with no shirt on,
cover.
Like pointing at you and telling a story and just rambling incoherently. So if it is finished, I'm curious to read it at some point just to see if I can get through this craziness. But what I really want to talk about is the Batman of Zur-En-Arr.
Okay.
What?
All right. Yeah, yeah.
The Batman of Zur-En-Arr.
Okay.
There was a story in 1958. In this story, Batman, he's just going a little loopy for some reason, a little hazy.
Because it's 1958?
Yeah, because it's 1958. At one point, he's in the Batplane, and I believe he gets teleported, just abruptly teleported, to an alien planet, the planet of Zur-En-Arr, by a guy named T'Lano, who is the Batman of that world. For some reason, they
fight. Bats look gross on that world, huh?
They do. They do look weird. They're all red and yellow and purple.
Purple, yeah.
They fight some robots, and once they're done, the Batman of Zur-En-Arr gives him a keepsake, what's called the Bat Radio, which is like a radio thing.
Right.
So, a weird story. Yes. That really is just sort of like, okay, that's inexplicable, and what does that have to do with Batman? But that was pretty much standard for the time. They fought aliens and had...
It's an imaginary story.
Yeah, weird nonsense going on all the time. Back to the Morrison, though, of course, brought Batman of Zur-En-Arr back in a pretty... In a pretty fun way.
Yeah. And?
He was,
Batmite.
And Batmite.
At the same time.
Absolutely. And he wanted to work every little thing in there. So, basically, Batman had been just drugged to oblivion. And it triggered, he had created a backup personality created, basically, in case he ever had a psychotic break. He would basically, like, turned into, like, a hobo drugged out... version of Batman who had, like, some stitched-together costume out of, again, the same colors, the red, yellow, and purple, who was hallucinating Batmite, and basically behaved, again, like Frank Miller Batman on drugs, kind of. He was just, like, very intense and...
Crime!
Basically, yeah. And he had just a garbage handheld radio taped up called the Bat Radio, and he just went on a crazy violent rampage... While messed up on heroin, I'm pretty sure was the case. And that was pretty fun. Oh, and in this version, he got the Batman of Zur-En-Arr because he misheard some of his father's last words coming out of Zorro, which was, they'd probably throw someone like Zorro in Arkham. Zur-En-Arr.
All right.
Grant Morrison.
I want to close the topic with one more Snapchat from Tim Drake.
Oh, sounds good.
The camera's panning over a display of hero-themed hats. Most of the Batman hats are sold out, while the Superman display is nearly full. It pans back to Bruce, who's taking a picture with his own phone. Tim says, oh, who are you texting? A friend of Metropolis. Metropolis sucks. Yes. Yes, it does.
Moment of zero. Moment of zero.
We're going to do a dramatic reading. Dramatic reading! And I'm going to do a voice just like that.
Actually. Oh, is the announcer voice? That's great, actually.
That's going to be my narrator voice.
Dateline, Batman.
This is Detective Comics number 31.
Yeah.
From 1939.
Taking it back?
Going way, way back. And we will have to explain, like, I'll do the narration, but we'll explain the panels as we go on because they are really odd. This is a 10-page story, but there's not a lot of dialogue or narration.
That famous pose that he traced from another thing.
Oh, did he just...
Oh, yeah, it was, like, traced from, I don't know what it was, like a Tarzan thing or something like that.
Was
I forget.
It?
Oh, yeah, he did. He just stole... He just traced over shit all the time. The one thing that he actually supposedly did, he didn't fucking do.
Okay, so I'll do the narration.
Yeah.
Bri, you're going to do Batman.
I will do Batman.
You have to do... What's her name? Julie, who is his fiance. Is Bruce Wayne's fiance.
Oh, Julie Madison.
Yes.
Who's actually in the George Clooney movie. Played by...
Oh, that's right.
Pearson or something.
Why do I know these things? What's your license plate number?
No clue.
Nope. Nope.
The Batman, weird menace to all crime, at last meets an opponent worthy of his mettle. A strange creature... I sound like the...
The Monarch?
The Mighty Monarch! Has anybody been watching Voltron?
Really yelled that, sorry.
Watching Voltron?
No.
Sound like the guy from the Australian guy. Anyway. A strange creature, cowered like a monk, but possessing the powers of a Satan. That's actually what it says.
A Satan.
A Satan.
Is it like a Dracula?
Yeah. A man whose powers are uncanny, whose brain is the product of years of intense study and seclusion. And so Batman is leaping awkwardly from one building to another one.
His cape billowing like a garbage bag.
And covering his face nearly, and he's just going to land on it.
He's curtsying in midair.
Yeah. Through the dark of a New York night.
Oh, he's in... Okay.
Soon now, and I shall know.
Like, what does that mean?
Let's find out. Together.
He's squatting over a chimney, though. I don't know.
And then he leaps again. Distance knows no bounds by which to hold the eerie figure. He sights his quarry, and he's hanging off, like, lines
he
now.
He hugs a telephone pole.
He's hugging a telephone pole, and there's
Julie Madison
and some stranger below.
I have been sent to you by the Master Monk. Help!
As if an answer to the doomed man, and...
yanked up by some ropes.
Yeah, like... lassos him and pulls him up out of Julie Madison's reach, who, if you don't know, Julie Madison is Bruce Wayne's
girlfriend, fiance, something, yeah. Beard.
So this guy has now been lifted on top of the power lines, so the guy is up there with Batman.
Who are you?
Remain until I give you leave to go.
Yeah, but who are you?
No, I know.
And then he just, like, awkwardly just drops with his butterfly wings.
Yeah, I was like, this is the strangest cape I've ever seen. The Batman recognizes his fiancée, Julie Madison.
Julie, you.
But, what? What am I doing here? Who are you? But, if you're taking me home, how do you know where I live? Why won't you talk? Why won't you tell me a thing?
He's driving her in a car.
Just very awkwardly, just sternly driving her home.
You're not talking to me. Speak.
In Batman's famous brown sedan. But why won't you tell me who you are?
Tell your fiancé, Bruce Wayne, all that happened. Good night.
Sorry, that was poorly.
Tell your fiancé, Bruce Wayne, all that happened. Good night. Cut, Prince.
Yeah. The next morning.
He's just like hopping out the window, like, good night.
See ya later.
See ya.
The next morning, Bruce Wayne is called to his fiance's home.
Bruce, there's something I must tell you. A man dressed as an enormous bat found me last night on the street about to kill a man.
Good lord, Julie. Suppose you had. We'd better see Dr. Trent right away.
Snagglepuss?
And scarcely 2 hours later...
Young lady, I've seen victims of an expert hypnotist.
Oh, exhibit. This is the doctor speaking.
Oh, the doctor,
the exact
yeah.
same voice as the Batman.
I'm sick.
Do you want to do... You did that. You
I'm fine, that's fine. He's got more range.
Young lady! I've seen victims of an expert hypnotist exhibit your symptoms... Don't you recall anything that would suggest something like that? I advise an ocean voyage!
That's my favorite line of this entire thing.
I prescribe an ocean voyage!
You've had a troubled time. Go on the water!
Someone should
go on a boat! Yet, as Dr. Trent talks, Bruce Wayne notices his staring eyes and wonders...
Yes, an ocean voyage to Paris, and perhaps later to Hungary, the land of history, and werewolves. That is not Kyle ad-libbing. That is actually it.
Oh, and so then, Bruce Wayne in a horrible jacket.
Yeah, just...
He's hiding Julie within the jacket as well.
He's about to go see a football game with Goofy.
Yeah.
They go to Lunar Lines, which I guess.
It's a boat to space. It's a boat to the moon.
So then...
To the moon!
Bruce says...
One ticket to Paris, please. Port cabin. I don't like the crack the doctor made about werewolves, Julie. And he seemed hypnotized himself when he gave you that advice. But maybe I'm imagining things.
I was going to do the doctor voice again. Of course you are. No. Of course you are. I've worried you. But I promise I'll be good.
But back at Wayne Mansion...
Julie would be surprised to know her Batman is her future husband.
And in a secret hangar known only to himself...
2 new weapons. My Bat Gyro. In which to follow Julie, and...
The Flying Batarang, modeled after the Australian Bushman's Boomerang.
Is that the first appearance of the Batarang?
And it looks like it's about to hit him straight in the nuts.
Boom! It loops, right in the beanbag.
It loops off his back and goes right back. Like, I don't know how this works. Ow. So then he hops in the gyrocopter.
It's in his Julie Stockin plane.
And then the whole ceiling just opens up like it's their entire building is a big cardboard box. And he's only 2 inches tall, and he just flies up.
He narrowly avoids a giant cat jumping into it.
And as the gyrocopter's flying over Gotham, scared people below say,
"Look!
A bat!
The end of the world raid attacked my merchants!"
You could say that again.
I love it.
It's the end of the world where we attack my Martians.
And what does Batman do?
Like cockneyed a pirate so fast.
That was awesome.
Oh, I'm a crazy.
Jesus. You sound like you're drowning. So Batman just like looks over the side.
Peering down at them. Look over like peasants.
Clams.
None of you have a bat gyro.
And out to sea.
So he's flying out to sea.
Why is she on the boat already? Is she by herself? Well, he go with her?
No, he bought her the ticket.
Yeah, but... Like,
and then sent her on the voyage. And then followed her as Batman.
So he could solve crime.
Hand motion.
Yeah.
While on board the Luna Lady...
A monster bat flying over the ocean.
And there's literally the gyro flying over.
Yeah, just flying over the boat.
Fixing his automatic controls, the Batman prepares for a visit.
So he lowers a ladder.
So he just climbs out of his plane.
Can I just point out her forehead? What is going on?
Well, she's Betty Booping.
Yeah.
No, she's got a growth. Like, her head just suddenly malformed.
Yeah.
Looks completely different than before.
You know what? I've drawn like that before.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like I've improved as an artist.
You, my friend, are no Bob Kane.
So then Batman jumps off the ladder, lands on the deck of the Lunar Lady, and Julie is there, and she says,
"You, here?"
Julie explains her plight to the Batman.
"And that's why I'm here. If, look out!"
The eyes of the giant figure seem to burn. He is the arch-criminal, known as the Monk.
And let me just point out that this monk is in a big red, kind of like almost KKK outfit.
And has not been introduced before this small panel.
It seems like he's just kind of zombie walking all over the place, too. Yeah. His arms like
and
straight out.
And let me just notice that his torso and head are like 2 inches and his legs are 4 inches. It's not really how that works.
"That man has uncanny powers. I seem to be hypnotized. It is harder and harder to move."
By a tremendous effort of will, the Batman leaps into action, and he throws his batarang. The spell is broken!
By a batarang.
The monk evades the batarang! Swish! The Batman leaps for the rope ladder!
And he's catching his batarang while he's jumping on the rope ladder.
The Batman, anxious to get to the bottom of the mystery, follows the ship and the monk to Paris. So right there, he just totally ditched her.
He just left!
He just left.
He ducked!
He just like, well, I'm out of here.
So he throws a batarang.
Oh, this guy's faster than batarang.
The supposed arch criminal just ducks. He catches it and goes, "I'm out," and he gets in his gyro and leaves. And he flies to Paris and says,
"Paris at last."
Alright.
City of lights. City of industry.
So now he's jumping around Paris building tops.
The search begins!
And he looks at a window, kind of creepy.
Just looking out a window.
Out or in, I don't know.
It looks like just sad. He's like,
they're having a nice day.
There's a family in here.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know. So many parents.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
The trail leads everywhere. So he jumps onto this really awkward-looking cab, and then, and he's, like, squatting on top of it.
He's listening for a heartbeat.
Is there anyone in there? And then the cabbie says,
"Help, this devil himself!"
I don't know what accent that was.
No.
That was French, I believe.
Flawless French accent.
Sacre bleu! The weird figure is seen all over Paris until one night...
Julie, at last.
And he climbs in what is like a door window thing that is the largest window that opens like a door that I've ever seen. So he walks into this room and Julie's sleeping in the bed on the side, but a warm reception has been prepared for him and the biggest gorilla ever known to man.
Oh, that's a Sasquatch. They shaved its chest. That's a Sasquatch.
Totally. The Batman nimbly dodges the huge ape, only to fly through a sliding door, which I can't tell if it's like on the side or it's he fell through the floor.
A trap door?
I don't know. It's just weird. And tumbles down into a gigantic net. So he's in a net, and then it scoops him up.
See, I love these old comics where it's just, like, explaining the things.
That I know.
Again, these drawings aren't the most clear, but...
Yeah. Caught like a rat in a trap as the net closes about him. The Batman once again faces the diabolical Master Monk.
Rash mortal, to dare face the power of the monk. Look below. Ah, shit.
Look below your shit.
Look below at your feet when I pull the lever.
So he's caught in a net, but it's hanging.
With a bat.
And it's got like a shape to it, so it's not really a net.
No.
It's more like a crown royal bag.
It's kind of a weird cage.
Caught
in a huge crown royal.
Like all crown royal, royal bags. You open that, Batman!
It's me and, like, 2 dozen marbles. Weighing the bag down.
Now, the net begins to drop slowly into the den of snakes, because there's a huge hole that suddenly opened up and there's a den of snakes. In a flash, the Batman flips his batarang. The net stops in its downward flight as the batarang knocks over the lever. So that's the first thing it hit. Then it keeps going. Continuing on its upward sweep, it crashes into a glass chandelier.
Your chandelier.
It sucks. I hate chandeliers. The Batman grasps the batarang and the broken glass. Mm. So he catches both. Boop, 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 boop.
With a zing.
With a zing.
There is a zing. That's a total zing.
Oh, yeah. I got great zing vision.
A heroic gesture, but a futile one. The lever will remain down this time.
Working against time, the Batman severs strand after strand, freeing himself none too soon. So, like, he's cutting little bits by bits, and then he climbs up and he's chasing after the monk, and he's chasing after him again, and he's awkwardly going through a door. That seems really odd.
Yeah, you go through a door sideways, right?
Yeah. What are you, Will Riker? Jesus. The Batman in full pursuit of the fleeing monk. Suddenly, a barred door drops between the Batman and the monk.
I hear you, fool, while I send the girl, Julie, to my castle in Hungary to feed my werewolves.
What the f-
And then the...
I had all this trouble to feed your werewolves?
And then...
Werewolves like white ladies.
The gigantic gorilla is lowered as the Batman is caged by bars all about him in the most awkward drawing. Like, okay, he's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. These bars, and then you're just seeing the legs of the gorilla drop.
I'd really like to be a comic artist in the 30s.
Yeah.
I feel like you can get away with a lot of bullshit.
You could do it. If you know now, know what you know now and go back, it'd be so
good. Oh, I would steal so many ideas.
Yeah.
The Batman makes a desperate leap for the rope that lowered the gorilla. So he leaps up past this gorilla that's now even bigger than it was before. As he climbs hand over hand up the rope, he sights the guard about to draw a gun, and he throws a batarang. The batarang hits its mark. Suck! Ow! Ow! I just got hit in the head.
What the hell was that? Some kind of bat boomerang?
And he sees some doors open, and there's a ladder hanging out of nowhere.
A bat.
The idling Batplane hovers above the Batman, because it's just been waiting there the whole time, as a powerful car races towards Hungary, because it's just on its way to Hungary. The shadow of the Bat follows it. The Batman prepares to board the car from the air. So he's lowering on the ladder. He leaps from the ladder on top of the car. A glass pellet filled with gas is thrown into the car, because I am describing everything that happens in every panel. The car swerves into a tree.
The monk knew better than to come, but I can save Julie.
And he picks her up super awkwardly.
Yes.
Throws her over his shoulder.
The Batman makes a valiant leap for the ladder of his Batplane. With Julie safe, the Batman plans on his vengeance.
Poor kid.
and senses automatic controls for Hungary, home of the vicious monk and his werewolves. Continue. This is next time. The thrilling adventures of the Batman and his combat against the mysterious monk. What plans has the monk in mind? What does he want Julie for? See the next episode of the Batman.
What plans did the monk have? They're going to just be stupidly convoluted. I
just want to point out, it's 1,500 kilometers from Paris to Hungary. That's a 13 and a half hour drive.
Yeah.
So is he...
Easily done in
those He's days. Going
Easily
real
done
slow
in 1939. Well, but in 1939, that would have been like 50 hours.
That's an excellent point.
Because that would have been going super slow.
If this weren't absurd enough.
Yeah. All right, thanks for coming. I'm Merc. You can find me at MercAsylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc on Facebook, MercAsylum on Twitter, Mercanaut, like an astronaut, on Instagram.
My name is Bri Kotick. You can find my comic at WelcomeToHereafter.com, which is called, you know, that. There's some little buttons. There's some buttons there you can click if you want to find me on social media. It's there as well.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. While you're there, you might want to take a look at some of the stuff that I've drawn, some of the stuff I've written, whatever. Also keep in mind, this isn't a thing that I plug a lot on here, but I'm available for commissions. So if you've got, like, you want to get a portrait done of someone, need to post your design, or any sort of illustration idea, send me a message. I got competitive rates. I just did a tattoo that I'm super happy about. It's two Chewbaccas doing cheers, one with a bowl of chili, the other with a taco. And it might be the first tattoo that I'm actually comfortable that someone is getting put on their body.
Nice.
I've done a few, and it's like, every time I was like, oh, that's going to be on your body for the rest of your life. I don't know if you want to do that. I know what you mean. But this one, I feel like I did a good job.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
By the time this episode is up, I should have another one done, which will be a little more simpler. A little more simpler.
That's how that works.
Which is also the name of my country, Al.
Speaking of tattoos. Our good friend of the show, Mr. Jason Wellwood, is getting his next tattoo right now, which happens to be my Hellboy drawing.
No shit!
Oh, really?
Hellboy giving the finger with the green lantern ring holding Thor's hammer.
Mew.
Yep.
Mew.
Yeah, and thank you, as always, to Mr. Ocean City Defender for the delightful
music. For defending
music.
Those ocean cities.
Yeah.
They need it, now more than ever. Yeah. With these rising tides, you gotta save them.
Go look at his stuff, because it's great.
If you can take a listen to us on iTunes,
yes.
Then please, if you could give us a rating, a nice one, that would be nice.
Give us a nice rating!
That voice demeans all of us. yeah, and, you know, while you're there, you know, subscribe, check out the Facebook page, check out all our doodads and beatbops.
I exclusively like the beatbops.
Yeah, tell your mom that you love her.
You should always do that.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing right now that you're so busy you can't tell your mom that you love her? You know who didn't get a chance to do that? A guy named Bruce Wayne. Look at him now. Do you want to be Batman? Is that what you want to be?
You know, he probably did tell his mom he loved her, but... Didn't make a difference.
This is a good ending? I feel like we skipped a couple side quests and we got the bad ending to this episode.
I need to go call my mom right now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. Here's the thing. Here, in this room, at a TED Talk, mostly rich people, poor people, middle-class people can watch it on their computers. Now, what is a computer? So that's going to be like post-credits or something.
Oh, that is the tag, my friend.
All right. Okay.